This is Bruce Marable from EmployCycle, the HR analytics dashboard for small and medium companies. Since we already host an HR podcast, we thought the best way we could provide value is to share interviews about how HR and business leaders are trying to reduce stress and anxiety with their employees during this coronavirus public health crisis. Please listen to the following interviews, and we hope that it helps you and your company. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule, and as everyone is looking to manage the best way they can during this crisis, to be able to help HR leaders and companies understand what's the best way that they can manage employer relations during coronavirus. And so what I'm going to do is ask you some rapid fire questions for people to know who you are, and then we'll go deeper into a conversation.
Great. Glad to be here.
Great. So your name, title, and company.
That's easy. I'm Deb Muller. I'm the CEO and founder of HR Acuity.
And what does HR Acuity do?
So we are the only technology provider that is specifically focused on employee relations and investigations management.
And where are you located?
We're located in Florham Park, New Jersey, but our client base is really global, across the U.S.
Got it. So your software right now, and the value that you offer to companies is pretty interesting, especially when a lot of the companies you work with, I'm assuming, have employees in the office. And so maybe a lot of the issues that they're dealing with, maybe sexual harassment, bias, discrimination, but because everyone is working from home and we're now dealing with this global pandemic and this crisis, I'm sure that the issues are a lot different. So could you speak to what types of issues companies are dealing with now and how can they go about managing them?
Yeah, that's a great question because it is like the work environment has changed for a lot of organizations, not for all. We still have a lot of clients and obviously there's a lot of organizations out there that are essential, that their workers are still coming in every day. But we like to think of HR Acuity as managing two things, and any employee relations team is going to be managing these. They're going to be managing what we call kind of the red light issues when there's a allegation of harassment or something like that. And typically that's going to be more frequently found when employees are in close contact with each other. But it's also for deviations from what's expected of an employee when they go to work every day, deviations from how you expect them to behave or your policies and your practices. So right now, more so probably than ever, everything that everyone's doing is a deviation from what was expected, right? So it's really critical, probably more so than ever, that organizations are documenting how they're managing those deviations because they're going to be different from employee to employee, number one. They also are changing on a day-to-day basis. If we think about when this first started and we didn't really know what was in front of us, and frankly, we still don't know what's in front of us, we didn't have any guidelines from the Department of Labor or from the EEOC about how they would define an accommodation or a disability and related that and what types of information you could ask from your employees regarding health and things like that. Employee relations and HR leaders really had to think on their feet and use their instincts and make some decisions in real time. And so documenting why you made those decisions, who you made them for, what information was it there that you had at that time, the date that you did it, how you're doing that, if you're doing it consistently across your organization, even though everybody's dispersed, it's so critical to be documenting these things now because it may not seem you're kind of getting through the day right now, but this will pass. We will go back to business as new normal, right? Eventually. And people are going to start wondering, you know, why was I treated one way? How did we do this? What did we learn from this? Why did we do this differently than this? And that documentation is going to be really critical on those day-to-days. And then even just when people are working from home, there's going to be issues that you still have to manage. Are people being productive? How are they doing as a manager? Are you checking in with people? Are they having issues that you want to document? How they're dealing with childcare? Again, those are all things, you know, what you're agreeing to let people do or not do have to be documented. And believe it or not, Bruce, those investigations don't really go away. We had a client that shared with us anecdotally that they had an issue where they had to do an investigation because one of their employees was stealing, I don't know if it was toilet paper or paper towels or something like that. So unfortunately, there will still be the opportunistic employee who will find some way to do something that they shouldn't be doing during this time.
So documentation definitely makes sense, especially with us being in a CYA culture
But one of the things that I saw, I don't know if it was on CNN or CNBC, one of the news channels, there were doctors and nurses saying that because there's so much red tape around how they can operate and try to provide health to patients, that it was actually stopping them from doing their job in the best ability. And so I'm curious, does this sound similar? And is there a parallel with HR needing to be able to do things in real time, more so than ever before? And does the documentation process actually slow things down to not be as reactive as possible?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, what you're documenting is what you did, right? So it's not stopping you from doing it. It's not like, you know, sometimes you think about, oh, I have someone with a performance issue. We need certain amounts of documentation before we can take action. And that's sort of that, you know, we have to do all this stuff to build this case, which I'm certainly not a fan of. I think we should, you know, be doing that as it happens, if there's an issue you need to deal with. But this is just after you do it, you know, documenting why you did it. Why did you make that decision? And just what does it mean? So if I'm an employee and I maybe I'm older or I have a compromised immune system and I really can't be, it's not in my best interest to be working, continue to work in a retail environment that maybe it's essential, a grocery store or whatever. And I bring in a notice from my doctor and you agree that you're going to give me 14 days off. Maybe it's paid, maybe it's not paid, however it is. You need to document that, right? Because the next day, someone may ask for something similar, but it's not going to be exact. And you want to make sure, or somebody's asking for something in another store, in another region, and somebody else is handling it. And at the end of the day, you still want to make sure you're being consistent. And at the end of all this, if you weren't consistent, you actually may want to modify that, right? Maybe you want to go back and say, wow, we, you know, some of our employees, from the information we knew, we put them out on leave and we paid them. And then other ones, maybe we didn't. Maybe we want to go and make that and kind of make that right. You know, it's also going to impact potentially employees' abilities to get unemployment. If you do eventually let them go because you don't have work for them, you want a documentation as to why that decision was made and under what circumstances. Interestingly, there's also could be tax implications. Some of the things that we're providing to our employees or that companies are inviting in normal times might have tax implications because they would be deemed as a benefit. But under a national emergency, they may not have those tax implications. So you need to have that documentation. There's just so many reasons why, and it doesn't have to be complicated. It's, you know, it's writing it down. You know, we have offered free access to our product HR Acuity because it's so set up just for this. I mean, obviously, it wasn't set up for this, but it's so easy to configure to manage this that we wanted to give organizations a tool to make it easy, something that anybody in their organization, any HR person or manager can go in, document things, have the tools to do it consistently and quickly.
It's interesting that you brought up the potential implications around taxes on giving different things, because I've seen in different HR related Slack channels or some of the HR folks that I've been talking to how they're giving different gifts or giving people $100 Amazon cards to be able to buy what they want or buy things for their new work from home setup. And it's interesting that there may be tax implications on them if it's deemed as compensation. Do you have any tips or advice on anything like that?
No way. I am not a tax professional, but my understanding is that if it's been deemed a national emergency, that there may be, that may not be the case. Again, but that's why you need the documentation, right? When did it happen? What purpose was it provided? But we don't, and there's so much we don't know. But at the end of the day, the only way we're going to be able to figure it out how we did things or to defend why you did that might help an employee avoid that tax implication. Can you imagine after all this? And, you know, you get $100, $1,000, and all of a sudden you get a tax bill for that. I mean, come on, talk about pouring salt on the wound. So as the employer, you want to be able to have that information so that you can make sure that the right thing is done for your employees.
Have you seen any new issues and employee relations problems and challenges that have cropped up because of work from home that probably wouldn't existed when people were in the office? And I'm asking this for all the listeners to try to be proactive in putting in guidelines and best practices to keep their own employees from going down the same rabbit hole or the same bad process.
Well, there's been quite some humorous things on the internet about etiquette on Zoom and really understanding what's in the background of your Zoom screen when you're sharing your house with people. So I won't get into those, but those have been somewhat funny and maybe it's not so obvious for people that you should be cautious of that before you turn your camera on. But certainly issues around childcare, around people, kind of how they work. And I think it's more about giving people permission that working from home right now is different. When I talk to my own team, and every morning we actually have a daily huddle every day just to see each other, just to kind of check in with the entire organization. We all get on several screens of Zoom. And, you know, there's been many times that I'll just say, look, I want you to know, like, during the day-to-day, it's beautiful. Go take a walk. You have permission to do that. It seems weird that I have to give them permission, but I think that releases the tension for people to understand that we get it, that this is different. We have several employees who have children at home that they're homeschooling or just kind of, you know, want their moms or their dads. And it's okay, you know, schedule time to play board game with them or get work done at a different time if you need to. Like the rules kind of are different. And I think HR professionals have to help their managers understand how to manage that with their employees and how to just the rules kind of don't apply. But I think a lot of good can come out of it. I've seen in my own team and we've seen talking to other people that employees are really stepping up. They're becoming more autonomous and kind of have this independent nature because they have to, right? You're not there all the time. So you're really seeing employees kind of stepping up in ways that maybe we wouldn't have given them that opportunity so easily. So there's a lot of good things that can come out of it. But I think it's you know, not recognizing that this is not normal for people and they might need some rules of the road.
Are there any guidelines you've seen any of your customers or HR leaders out there put in place to try to put some new norms around this work from home culture? And I'm just making stuff up here now, but I don't know if somebody thought that it was appropriate to, if the guy thought it was appropriate to be on Zoom with his shirt off, or if people thought that maybe some people are doing things that are okay, like a work from home or a workout from home, and then maybe somebody's wearing some workout clothes that maybe are too revealing or something like that. I don't know. I haven't seen any of these things happen, but because this is what you deal with and this is what your software does and your company does, I'm curious to know, have you seen any things like that where companies are saying, oh, I thought that might have been common sense for me not to even have to have said something about that, but it actually happened? Because there's going to be a lot of HR leaders out there that want to just think that there are common sense things that they didn't think people wouldn't do. And then they happen. And so if there are things that you've seen that they could say, oh, I would never think anybody would do that, but now that I know somebody has it a different company, let me put that in place. Have you seen anything like that?
I have not seen that kind of people specifically doing that, but certainly, again, there is these poor people, there's a couple that are going around the internet that Zoom casts of things that people have done. And I don't want to mention them because I think it's like, if I was that person, I'd be mortified and I don't want people to hear this and then go Googling it, but I'm sure they can find it on their own. However, I don't know. I mean, I think for the most part, people are doing the right thing. There's some of those odd things that happen, but it is, I don't know. I think more it's like, you know, you don't have to get dressed up. I mean, the interesting thing, I had a podcast the other day with our webinar the other day with Nancy Altobello. She was the former vice chair of EY. She's actually on our board. And one of the things she said just resonated with me so much. And I've been kind of sharing it over and over. And she said that she thinks that this is really going to bring about a change in people's expectation of perfection and precision. And she gave the example of, you know, before, like, you needed Amazon to come, like, in 2 days, you know, or 2 days or 2 hours, whatever, you know, and that was your expectation. It had to be there, and you got really upset if it didn't. Now you're like, oh, my God, if it comes next week, like, that would be awesome. But the same goes for the workplace. You know, people don't look as great, right? They're not all dolled up, or their hair might not be so great, or they're kind of, you know, a little bit ruffled, and they're probably wearing their pajamas and their slippers. Yes, I am right now. It's actually the first day I have pajama pants on today, the first day. But, you know, so they're not as perfect. Or maybe when you have to get something out, like a memo or a presentation, because there's so much else going on in the world, which quite frankly, your health and your family, it is more important than work. And I know that sometimes that's hard because people, you know, they rely on it for their livelihood, but that should be everybody's number one priority. So work might take a back seat. And so that presentation might not be as picture perfect, or, you know, she talked about when you see these broadcasters on at night and they're broadcasting from their basements and their kids are holding up the whiteboard and the cat's going through, the dog's barking. That's kind of the new normal. And quite frankly, from my perspective, I think it's bringing back a little bit of humanity into the workplace, that we are all human and we're seeing each other at a very vulnerable place. Regardless if you're the CEO or you're someone that sits in at a call center all day, you're going through this together, and you all have, you know, different types of fears and concerns. And so maybe if there's a silver lining, and it's going to be hard to find them because this is such a tragic event that we're going through, it'll just remind people about that when we do go back to work.
Thank you so much for sharing that. That made a lot of sense and would definitely give me something to think about as well. As I've been talking to people about this, I am hoping that the silver lining is that the blend of personal and professional can become so blurred that you're able to bring your work life into your personal life, and people aren't saying, oh, all you do is think about work, but then you're also be able to bring your personal life into your professional setting so that you can bring your full work, full self to the workplace, and people can really see this 360 view of who you are. And you just, and people can understand that there's more to you than just the one side that they typically see on a daily basis. Are there any last tips or advice that you would like to give for HR leaders or business leaders listening to this interview who want to make sure that they're managing their employee relations the best way possible?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about employee relations, obviously, I'm a big proponent of documentation and consistency and fairness, and that's what our system does. But I think from a leadership perspective, remember to be transparent, remember to be authentic. There was a great interview that was done by Dave Cote in Fortune. Dave Cote was a former CEO of Honeywell for many years, and during the recession in 2008, 2009, and Honeywell actually came out of it quite well. I actually worked at Honeywell before that with Dave, but not during the recession. And so he was interviewed recently by Fortune, and he talked about a lot of things about why they were able to kind of come back so quickly from a business perspective. But from a leadership perspective, he said, and I'm not going to quote him because I don't have it in front of me, but he talked about being authentic. He talked about not setting a rosier picture than what there is. Don't tell people, look, we're only going to go down 5% if you don't know. Be real with them. They don't need to hear that. But be very clear about what you're doing, that you're making your decisions in the best interest of your customers. And that's really where your decisions are going to be always. As a leader, it's about your customers. And people might say, well, what about your employees? Like, aren't they important, or your investors? And they are important. But if you don't have customers, you can't have employees, right? So it's not to tell your employees you come first at every cost isn't true. We need our customers. So what are we doing for our customers? Now, that being said, you know, I'm so heartened by some of the things that we're seeing organizations do for their employees, particularly the ones that have been really decimated. Dark restaurants continuing to employ their employees. Visa, I think, came out with a statement they weren't going to let any employees go. And I think that is the sign of a mature business with very strong leadership that knows that this is going to pass, that we've been through things like this before. It is new and, you know, certainly uncharted territory, but we are going to get through this and the business is going to come back in maybe a different way. Maybe it'll be reimagined. There'll be some changes, but good people are hard to find. And we really need to, you know, remember that our employees are important and the heart and soul of our organizations.
That was a great way to end this interview. Thanks so much for taking time again during this crisis as you're dealing with keeping all your customers and keeping your team together, and also dealing with, you know, the personal challenges of everything that's going on. So really appreciate you sharing your insight and wisdom around how companies can manage employee relations during coronavirus. And I hope that you, your family, and your team stay safe and stay healthy. Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce. Same to you.
If this interview helped you, please send to all the HR and business leaders in your network, since we're all looking for some reassurance, some guidance, and a sense of community. Stay tuned for more episodes by subscribing to the Employee Cycle podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcast episodes. Or you could also check in at employeecycle.com/podcast to get more interviews like this. Please stay safe and stay healthy. Talk to you soon.